Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I guess it's late for me too. The book of James is our task this Lent. Before we dive into the text, it's important to look at who this James is and to whom he is writing, the dispersion of the 12 tribes. There are two possible Jameses that this could be. This could be James, the son of Zebedee, the apostle, or this could be James, the just, the brother of our Lord, who became the bishop of Jerusalem. They both are martyred within 15 years of each other, roughly. James, the son of Zebedee, whose brother is John, the author of the Gospel as well as the book of Revelation and those letters. James was martyred by King Herod in the year 44 AD during the great persecution of Christians by the Jews in Jerusalem. James, the just, the brother of our Lord and bishop of Jerusalem, is martyred roughly around 62 AD, they think. This is still around the time of the great persecution of Christians by the Jewish people in Jerusalem, but it was carried out by the Romans in James, the brother of our Lord's case. Most scholars think it's James, the brother of our Lord, because surely the Christian church could not have their ducks in a row enough to have a writing early as 44 AD or before then. For our purposes, it doesn't really matter which of them wrote it. I tend to think that it's James the Just, the brother of our Lord. It makes sense of the longer amount of time that they underwent this persecution as opposed to James, the son of Zebedee. But either way, the context is the same. The context is under great persecution from the Jewish people, particularly the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. And during that time, Christians were being driven out of Jerusalem to all sorts of places. They were dispersed. Thus, the letter being written to those of the 12 tribes of the dispersion, those Christians who were dispersed because of the harsh persecutions coming upon the Christians in that first century. And so that is the occasion for this letter. The church is under attack from those whom one might think would be most amiable or amenable to the message of the gospel, those who know the Old Testament. And yet they are fiercely persecuting the church, just like St. Paul did before his conversion. So James takes up the pen to write those who have been dispersed, because at that time there was discussion of how do we handle this? What do we do when we are being pressed in from all sides? What happens when fellow religious people press in on us? What happens when our own government press in on us, how are we to handle being pressed in on? How are we to handle the social pressure, the financial pressure, whatever pressure is being laid upon the Christians in the first century? Count it all joy, he says, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy. Don't complain to one another. Don't wallow in the difficulties, but count it all joy when you meet trials of all various kinds, because that is the testing of your faith, which produces in you the virtue of steadfastness, so that you may become mature. That is what it means to be perfect and complete, that you may grow up into the fullness of who God has called you to be. Count it all joy, so that you may mature into the one that God desires you to be and calls you to be. And if you lack wisdom, that is not only knowledge, but also insight, as well as, which always goes along with wisdom, the ability to apply that knowledge and insight to specific situations, to let that knowledge and insight be lived out in a daily way. If any of you lacks that, let him ask God, who gives generously. The word here is single-mindedly, as opposed to those who do not ask in faith, who are double-minded. He gives with single-mindedness. Generously, without reproach, he will give you this wisdom, knowledge, insight, and the ability to apply this into various situations, because he will put you in various situations that test you. But let him ask in faith. Do you really want that? Do you want godly wisdom? Because with godly wisdom comes testing, so that you may put it into practice. When you ask for godly wisdom, do you know what you are asking for? Or are you double-minded about it? That you want the idea of godly wisdom, but you don't want what comes with godly wisdom? Are you vacillating? Well, I would like this part of that wisdom, but I do not want that part of this wisdom. Tossed about and driven like a wave upon the sea that is tossed and driven by the wind. So if you really want this wisdom and insight, the ability to make applications in various circumstances, ask for it in faith. But if you are double-minded, do not suppose that you will receive anything. For that person is unstable. He cannot be relied upon. Vacillating. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation. The rich here are not rich brothers. The rich here are not just physically wealthy, financially well off. The rich here are those who are elites in elite positions, those who have power. Let the one who has no power rejoice in the fact that he will be exalted by the Lord on the last day. And the rich, as we will sing in the Magnificat, will be sent empty away. Because the rich, those who are the elites, those who have power in this world, they're like the flower of the grass that pass away. The sun rises with its scorching heat, withers the grass, the flower falls, and its beauty perishes. When the sun returns, these so-called beautiful elite flowers will be burned up in the fire. So blessed is the man who remains steadfast under these trials. When the world, the devil, our flesh presses upon us, blessed is the one who remains steadfast, firm, immovable. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Just as our Lord was pressed and pushed, beaten, spat upon, crucified, died, he received the crown of life. They thought it was a crown of death, a crown of thorns. But he was raised and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Blessed is the one who remains steadfast under that kind of pressure like he did. For in the end, you will be exalted. So let no one say in the midst of these trials and temptations and difficulties that God is tempting me. For God is not tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. That is to give in to our own flesh and our own desires. When we start pointing fingers at God the way Adam did or Eve did. It's the woman you gave to be with me. No, let us not point our fingers at God. That is why we count it as joy to be found worthy to suffer as our Lord Jesus Christ suffered. But let us be watchful too, and not be tempted and lured and enticed by our own desires. This is what causes us to vacillate, is it not? This is what blows us about by every wind upon a sea, our own desires. Our desire for ease or for comfort, or just to be left alone. Desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, which is not steadfastness. And when sin is fully grown, it produces death. So do not be deceived. Don't tell yourself lies. In other words, he says, that this is God's fault. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Everything good that we have received is from him. And even the things that press upon us, that make tension upon our bodies and our minds and our spirits, even these things God works for good, uses for our benefit. What they mean for evil, Joseph said, God has worked for our good. He does not change. There is no variation in him. He never is good this moment and bad that moment. So everything that you receive from him is good. And by his own will, his word, he brought us forth by that word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Because the first fruit, Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead, we have been joined to him in holy baptism. We are new. So know this. You should be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger when all of these various trials press upon you. For anger does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So put away all types of speech that are filthy and reek of vengeance and putting people down and putting people in their place. Rather, receive with meekness, humility, with reasonableness, the implanted word which saves your souls. But don't just listen to it. Do it. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, for that would be another way to deceive yourselves, to think that everything that needs to be done or ought to be done has been done once I've listened or heard. For if anyone is a hearer of the word only and not a doer, he's like someone who looks in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. Like when I look in the mirror and I don't see the 20-year-old any longer. But the one who looks into the perfect law of God, the law of liberty, the law that makes us free, the word of God that sets us free from having to prove ourselves to those who do hate us or who are pressing upon us. We do not need to please them. Whoever looks into that law and perseveres, that is, keeps looking, remains steadfast, being not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So if anyone thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, that person's religion is worthless. That which is pure and undefiled is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. The world is going to end. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. God has called us not to save the world. He has called us to submit ourselves in meekness to his word and to do what his word says. That is, to help those who are in affliction, to speak the truth in boldness and in confidence, to bridle our tongues when we want revenge, to forgive those who have sinned against us, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is what he calls us to. This is the work that he has put before us in his word. Count it all joy that he has given you such work, that he includes you in his rule and reign of his world. Count it all joy when they do not immediately hear you. Count it all joy when they push back against you. Count it all joy, because this will test your faith and it will make you steadfast to trust in him all the more, the one who always keeps his promises and who never lies. Count it all joy in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.